ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, beginning from today, name 615, Sri Nidhi. Sri means Lakshmi Devi. It also means the quality of opulence, beauty, and by extension, all other great qualities. And Nidhi means the treasure or storehouse repository. So the two. These two names, combining them, means various meanings can be understood. He who is the abode of all good qualities, especially the abode of all wealth, the abode of all beauty, of all opulence, he is the, or he who has Lakshmi as his wealth. By wealth we mean that, well, wealth in generally people think of it as money, but then it can mean that which is most dear to one. It can mean that which one has in great quantity. It can mean that which distinguishes one, a great quality which distinguishes one. So we can say that, well, about beauty, it said that an ugly person can be beautiful if they have wealth. The beauty of a woman is what? Her face, her form. No, the beauty of a woman is pativratata, her being devoted to her husband. So in the same wealth, that which is the distinguishing special quality of one can be called one's wealth. Sometimes we hear it said in English, health is wealth. Meaning that if you're healthy, you can enjoy life. If you're not healthy, then even if you have lots of money, you'll always suffer. Why do you have a cell phone at all? So the first meaning that's given for the name is he who has Shri as his wealth, he who has Lakshmi Devi as his wealth. And of course, Krishna is Vishnu, Vishnu is Krishna, Lakshmi is Radha, Radha is Lakshmi. And we as Gaurya Vaishnavas, we concentrate our devotion upon Radha Krishna more than on Lakshmi Narayana, even though they're non-different, but the form of Radha and Krishna is particularly worshipped by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's understood, the Gauriyas understand that Radha is the original form. She is Adi Lakshmi.
You know someone called Adi Lakshmi?
Yeah. And she's the original, just as Krishna is the original form of all Vishnu forms. Of course, this is a controversial point. And, but the point is, if we say that Krishna, what is the wealth of Krishna? He has all everything belongs to him, all the universe, but his wealth is Radha. Of Narayana, Lakshmi. Of Rama, Sita. Of Vamanadev, anyone know the name of Vamanadev's wife? Anyone been reading the 8th canto recently? I believe she's only mentioned once, maybe twice. Kirti Devi. Now this relationship is so deep and so strong. It is the prototype of all bhakti. We're all hearing about Krishna and Radha. We want to enhance our loving feelings and service feelings for Krishna by hearing about Radha, how she is so much absorbed in love of Krishna, and Krishna is so much absorbed in love of Radha. So by hearing about this, we also become inspired to increase our devotion. There's so much tight together. Now, if we consider Radha is the wealth of Krishna, Krishna has got everything. We can't even imagine how wealthy is Krishna. We can't imagine how much wealth, how much property exists in the whole universe. It's unimaginable. And there are millions of universes. And this is only the material world, which is only a small area within the whole area of the spiritual world, which is unlimited. And it all belongs to Krishna. But he thinks it's all insignificant without Radha. He's not interested in being a big landlord. That's not his interest. His interest is in playing with Radha, sporting, Leela, having. So all wealth resides in him. That is a meaning of Srinidhi. But more important to him than being so wealthy is his love for Sri Radha. So we can hardly imagine. We can fill ourselves up. We can fill up our brain, our intelligence, with overflowing in just trying to understand even one drop of the love that Radha has for Krishna and Krishna has for Radha. It's more than it's beyond our ability to comprehend or even imagine. But by just thinking about it, our whole being becomes. We also become Sri Nidhi in the sense that we become overwhelmed with amazement and love and bhakti, devotion. And that becomes our wealth. Our wealth is our devotion. And that's something which no one can take away. If you have money, especially if you have lots of money, you're always in fear that someone will come and take it away. Either the income tax department, or thieves, or your own relatives. And if they don't take it away, then time will take it away. Mrityu sarva harascham, death takes it away. It takes away everything. But if we have the wealth of devotion to Krishna, no one can ever take that away. But we have to be still, we have to be careful that we don't destroy it for ourselves by making offenses. But that's our real wealth. That's why Tyaktva Turnama Shesha Mandala Pati Srining Sada Tuchavat Bhutva Dina Ganesha Ko Karunaya Ko Pina Kantashrito. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they all came from very aristocratic backgrounds, even though Raghunath Das Goswami is called a Shudra by some offensive people. By caste he was, but then he was from a very, very opulent family, very wealthy family, and Rup and Sanatan and necessarily their nephew Jiva Goswamis, they were from immensely wealthy background also. And the others, Gopala Bhatta and Raghunath Bhatta, they were not specifically from rich families, but very high class, high caste Brahmin families. But they gave it all up. They had all wealth, and in the case of Rupa and Sanatan, power. Wealth and power often go together. But they gave it all up. Why? To live like mendicants. They were mendicants. They only had their possessions were, it's mentioned here, kopin and kanta. Kopin is loincloth. It's translated as loincloth. Is, anyway, you don't have to translate it into Telugu. It's understood. And kanta is patchwork quilt, is the English. It means a kambalam, made from rejected cloth. Just like if the sari tears, this kind of cloth, old cloth, and you sew it up. They must do it here also. It's done all over North India. Or used to be done. I don't know if people do it nowadays. So there was, and it's not mentioned, but in this song, but renunciants, they have three kas. Ka is kopin, ka is kanta, and another one is kamandalu. Water, mendicant's water pot. So that was all they had. They had no residence. They didn't have a residence. They lived in palaces previously. And now they're living under a different tree every night. Or, although some bhajan kuti was, Rupa Goswami has his in Nandagram, and Sanatan Goswami near to the, I believe that's near to the Manasarova. He has it. Is it? What were you going to say? I can't remember exactly, but. There was a place, there were so many mosquitoes, he was going to go away. You know that? Manasaganga. Oh, Manasaganga, yeah, not Manasarova. Manasarova is in Tibet. Got mixed up. Manasaganga. And then Sri Radha came and said, no, I like you, you stay here. I'll tell the mosquitoes to go. So they did. And they're still, you won't find mosquitoes there, hardly. So, why would they do that? They gave up all that wealth. We have also the story of Sanatan Goswami, who had the touchstone in the garbage. Touchstone which can convert anything to gold. Put it in the garbage. Why? Because he had the wealth of chanting Hare Krishna. Gopi bhavarasamritabdila hari kalola magno muhur vande rupa sanatana raghu yagoshi jiva gopalako. They had the wealth of, they gave up the wealth of this material world to have the wealth of drowning in the ocean. Strange. What? How is that? Drowning in the ocean? What kind of wealth is that? What does that mean? It means they were always, metaphorically speaking, they were always diving and surfacing in the waves of the ocean of Gopi Bhava Rasamrita, the nectar of the loving feelings and emotions of the gopis in love for Krishna. So all this love of all the devotees in all the universes is all focused on Krishna. And it all goes through Radha. She's the Adishtatri, the overseeing demigoddess of bhakti. So that is the wealth of Krishna. He loves to love. He loves those who love him. The Lord loves he who loves he. Something like this. George Harrison made some song, something like that. So this is the real wealth. That's why devotees of Krishna, just like the six Goswamis, they're not interested in the wealth of this world, if they're really devotees. They may utilize it for Krishna's service, but then inherently they like to live detached from this world without opulence or any such thing. So that's why these communities we're making, it is a declaration of our dependence on Krishna, and that we don't want all these silly things that people spend their whole lives. They dedicate their life for comfort, money, prestige, opulence. No, we're not interested in all of that. We're interested in loving Krishna. We don't want all these things. We don't need all these things. We can use them for the service of Krishna, but not required. So you might think, well, all wealth is in Krishna. Great! I'm going to go to Krishna and get some of it. Krishna will give me. But people who want wealth, they will generally go to Shiva and Durga. This is a great paradox. Krishna is the master of all wealth, and his devotees are generally poor. And Lord Shiva, even though he's the master of the whole material energy personified as his wife, he doesn't even have a home. He lives under a tree. Yet his devotees are mostly wealthy, and they go to him for material wealth. It's a great paradox. Parikshit Maharaj asked about this from Shukadeva Goswami. The point is that all wealth belongs to Krishna, but as far as giving material wealth is concerned, he offers that service to Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati. What's that word they use in the IT industry? They give the job to someone else. No. There's a verb. What's that called? Da. Begins with da. I can't remember it just now. When you give some, one company gives some minor part of its function. Outsourcing. Yeah, that's the word. Doesn't begin with the. Yeah, he outsources. But there is another word which I can't remember. Delegate. Yeah. That's not in the IT industry. So he delegates that to Lord Shiva. Yes. All those stupid people in the material world, you go and look after them. He doesn't give that job to Indra or Chandra, he gives it to Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva is detached. He doesn't care himself. You want opulence? Oh, take it, I don't want it. As far as Vishnu's opulence is concerned, that's completely transcendental, and the materialist can't partake in that anyway. Descriptions are there of Vaikuntha. Chintamani, Prakarasatmasu, there's everything. Houses are there, cities are there, rivers are there, all kinds of things are there, but it's not like this material world. This material world is only a perverse reflection of the spiritual world. So if you want wealth, go to Shiva. But he cheats you, because He gives you material wealth. It's cheating. But you want to be cheated. You want something material, means you want to be cheated. So he cheats you. Okay, here we want material wealth. Okay, take it. Have it. Ashutosh. It's easily satisfied. But Krishna, if you want love of Krishna, the real wealth, you have to show you're very sincere to take it. Because as long as we're interested in material wealth, we can't get the wealth of pure devotion to Krishna. So, from Radha's point of view also, Sri Nidhi. Sri means Radha, and Nidhi means wealth. So, round the other way also, he is her wealth. Radha is the feminine counterpart of Krishna, and she's most opulent also, because she partakes in his wealth. Practically speaking, we see in the families, in the traditional system, that the man earns wealth, but actually the woman administrates it. And it used to be a practice, but it probably isn't nowadays, that the man would come with his wages at the end of the week or the end of the month and give it to the wife. And maybe leave a little bit for himself. Just give it to her. Then you, all this business managing the household, purchasing the food, you look after it. That's her department. So practically, she has the wealth. He does all the work, she has the wealth. You don't hear the feminists saying that. They're always saying how they're being exploited. But practically the men go and work and they give all the money to the women. Why? Because the woman has the attitude to serve the husband. He's confident that she'll look after it for him. So, Radha, she is Vrindavaneshwari, Krishna. One of his names, the last name prior to this, in Vishnu Sahasranam, Srinivas, means one of the meanings of that is he who resides in Vrindavan chayati te dikam janmana vraja. He who resides in Vrindavan, the land of all opulence, shrayata indira shashvateva, shashvadatrahi. Here eternally resides Indira. Indira is another name for Lakshmi. So he resides in Vrindavan, and she is the queen of Vrindavan. And she is the first of his Shakti. She is Hladini Shakti, his pleasure potency. And she expands into all the gopis of Vrindavan, and everything in Vrindavan is orchestrated. All the pastimes are orchestrated by Yoga Maya, one of Krishna's energies. So they all emanate from Radha. So all the pastimes are orchestrated in Vrindavan. She's the queen of Vrindavan, and she orchestrates everything for his pleasure. Even herself, she suffers, apparently, some great distress sometimes when Krishna doesn't come to her. So everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. So she is the treasure for him, and she protects very carefully Krishna, just like a wife protects the husband. She protects him from the advances of other women. If some woman wants to have some relationship with the husband, the wife will be there, and that's one of the ways in which she protects. And she'll become like a tigress and rip that other woman to pieces, almost literally, if she finds, even if she suspects. So in this way she protects. So in this way, Radha also, she is very kind in bringing devotees to Krishna to serve Krishna under her guidance, not to usurp her position. But she also won't allow anyone to come who wants to take advantage of Krishna for their own personal agenda, sense gratification. She won't allow that. So we can't go to Krishna unless we give up all personal desires. It's not even so much a matter of chanting so many rounds or even superficially living in Vrindavan or performing so much devotional service. All of this we're doing, we have to convince Radha that we are sincere to serve Krishna. That's the whole point. And of course the chanting is the recommended means for that, but we have to remember it's all meant for convincing Radha that we are very serious to serve Krishna, because Krishna belongs to her. She is Krishna's property. He is the wealth of her. So he belongs to her. We can't go to Krishna without going through Radha. And all this, I'm saying Krishna and Radha, and mostly the fans of Vishnu Sahasranama, they're mostly worshipping Lakshmi Narayana. So the same thing true if we say Lakshmi and Narayan. Same thing, no one can go, she won't allow anyone to come into his intimate service unless she's convinced that they're completely sincere. They're not doing it. Same thing, Sitaram, same thing. Lakshmi Narasimha, Lakshmi Varaha, whichever form of the Lord we concentrate our attention on, there's always the female counterpart, with the exception of Mohini Murti. She herself, he is she. That's an exception. He treasures her and he protects her. Keeps her protected, and she also protects him. It's a mutual relationship. So when we say Shri, that means Radha, Lakshmi, Sita, and so from Radha all the different forms expand, and even Durga is a manifestation of Radha, but with a different service to do. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada talking about the internal energy or the female energy of Krishna, he said that if you become Krishna conscious, then she is Radharani, and for one who is not Krishna conscious, she is Durga. There's the same person. And different. Achintya Bheda Bheda. Inconceivably one and different. So, the Shakti we cannot avoid. Shakti is there everywhere. But if we become Krishna conscious and recognize this supreme Shaktiman, the one who is the source of all energy, then we'll see Radha is the Shakti. And if we don't, then for us Durga. And we may or may not even recognize her. But the Shri is always there. The Shakti is always there. Power is always there. So theism means to recognize that beyond the gross manifestation of this world, there are subtle powers, controlling powers. So the controlling power of the material world is Durga, Shushti, Stiti, Pralaya, Sadhana, Shaktire, Ka, Chayeva, Yasya, Bhubanani Bibharati Durga Ichana Rupamapi Yasya Chachesha Te Sa Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Under the direction of Govinda, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, she, Durga, who is like a shadow of his internal potency, Radha, she operates in the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this whole material world. So if we are Krishna conscious, we'll see, oh, there is Radha. And if we're not Krishna conscious, we may or may not see there is Durga. If we see, then we may worship her in her various forms. For Durga, there are various forms. Some are very beautiful. Parvati, also known as Lalita, very beautiful. Lalita Sahasranam, she has 1,000 names, very beautiful form. Also the form of Kali, Gaura Rupa, very horrible, fearful form. And then there are the further expansions, Chinnamashtika, the form with her head chopped off, Chamundi, and all the very fearful forms. But for Radha, there's no fearful form. There's no such form. Only beauty, sweetness. Mm. Beauty is Saundarya, Lavanya. Mm. And even Maya, this whole material world is going on, this Mahamaya. It's all going on by Krishna's arrangement. Maya is so powerful. Maintenance, creation, destruction. But it all goes on the background of Krishna. But Krishna doesn't consider this material world to be his wealth. Radha is his wealth. And it's just like a very rich man. He has so much gold, and he may have a few copper coins in his pocket, so he doesn't consider it his wealth. Actually, it belongs to him, but he doesn't go, that's not my wealth, some copper coins. So in the same way, Krishna has the whole spiritual world and all the surrendered devotees and Radha, and this material world, for him, it's like some copper coins. It also belongs to him. But nothing to consider very seriously. Shiva, Durga, they can oversee. And Vishnu is also there out of his kindness. It's not his wealth. And then all glories, all qualities, he is the abode of all glories and qualities. And the meaning of this name is the whole Vishnu Sahasranam. Because all the names, they describe the glories and qualities of Sri Vishnu. So if we take Sri Nidhi to mean he who is the reservoir, the abode of all good qualities, the meaning of that name is the whole Sahasranam, Vishnu Sahasranam. And you can, so to get the meaning of this, chant Vishnu Sahasranam and understand all of that. Let's just see one. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives the meaning that all transcendental beauty and opulence are stored in him, just like jewels in a jewel box. There are so many qualities. The proper place to keep them, there's a proper, just like jewels, there's a proper place to keep them. The proper place is Vishnu. So if we try to see good qualities in others, we should understand if anyone has any good qualities, they emanate from Vishnu. If we try to think that someone has good qualities independent of Krishna, if we try to ascribe, You see, this man's an atheist, but he's a gentleman. He behaves with people in a very polite manner. But Shastra says, Harava bhaktasya kuto mahanguna manoretena asati dhavato bahi. What good qualities are there in a non-devotee? It's all on the mental platform. So he may apparently have some good qualities, but it's only on the mental platform. It won't stay. In his next life, he might be a tiger and rip other living beings to pieces. People who have desire, some people have desires like that. They have a desire to kill others, to be so violent as to kill others. And then they can take birth as a tiger. So someone may be very polite and gentlemanly and in a very cultured and sophisticated way eat lobsters or prawns or beef. So that's in just like the British, they ruled the world, or a large portion of it, for quite some time, and they considered, we're the most civilized and sophisticated, we're the real gentlemen. But they had no idea that they shouldn't be eating meat. It never occurred, and still hasn't occurred to most people in the world, that killing animals to eat them is a horrible thing to do. So, to have all good qualities, one has to repose one's devotion in Vishnu, because all good qualities are in him. Otherwise, someone might be very polite, but they eat meat. Someone may be a vegetarian, and he may be very rude. Or whatever. Actually, to get all good qualities in one person is very difficult, because the brahmana may be very learned and humble, but he's not going to help you if you get attacked by some sinful aggressor. That's for a kshatriya. And a kshatriya has the tendency for his violence to overspill and not just use it for religious purposes. And the vaishya has the quality of supposed to be very generous, but they accumulate wealth in the form of grains and distribute it to others, but they may be very greedy also, and generally not very high consciousness, because they're interested in wealth. And Shudras have the good quality of serving others, but then they're usually not very cultured in other ways. So all good qualities are in Krishna alone. And we can become full of good qualities if we surrender to Krishna alone. Mame kam sharanam vraja. Repose all our devotion in him. Hare Krishna. I'll finish here. I was going to speak on three names, but it became longer than expected. Discussion of Sri Nidhi. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.